Incredible!
It's not a cartoon! It's anime!
Wow! The crazy look!
Welcome to another episode of Animation! Half the squad is here.
We out here.
Brennan, myself.
What up?
Kay Bake in the building. You know what we do, man. We review podcasts. We do one-offs. We do debates. We do all that type of stuff in here, man. And this week is going to be just Brennan and I. We wanted to talk about...
Hold up. This man over here, this week. Today's a bonus episode, fam. What you mean this week?
This is a
bonus episode.
Same shit.
No,
same.
It's not. We do weekly episodes, and today's a bonus episode. So congratulations, y'all. We out here, Keenan and Brennan. This is on our heart. We had to come for this today. This is on our heart.
Yeah. We're going to be talking about My Hero Season 4.
Yes.
We're going to briefly go through it because it just ended. And it ended on some boss
yes,
shit.
Yes, it did. Me and Keenan were on the phone for like an hour yesterday. And I was just like, all right, man, we should probably just turn this into a podcast because goodness gracious.
Yeah, My Hero has been one of those shows that I feel like we gave it its own time in our podcast in the sense of like giving it one-offs.
Yeah.
Because it's been dope. It's held it down. It's had some moments. It's had some moments where I was just like, all right, man, let's move the fuck on. But we're here.
Overall, and, it's a really, really good anime and nobody can say anything. I don't care who you are. I know Ice will probably hate on it, but all I'm saying is that like you cannot deny My Hero Academia as a great anime in general. It doesn't have to be the greatest of all time or whatever. It's incredible. And it's for me, the most exciting anime I've been watching over the past few years. For me, that's been going for consistently because it's four seasons in and 25 episodes a season outside the first season. That's a lot of content that's still high quality. So I'm pretty happy about it.
Yeah. And I give it that. It's one of the better ones that I've consistently watched. And it's got me through all these seasons. I'm actually I'm starting up Mob Psycho Season 2.
Oh, I finished that. It's good.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to finish that just on my own just to watch it because I know season one was super dope off my recommendation. And I picked a winner because I pick winners, baby. So what I do is I pick winners.
What was your other pick?
Vinland Saga.
Okay. Right.
The one that somebody tried to say that I'm just purposely picking like just automatic W's. I'm like, bro, I haven't seen any of these. And one of them wasn't finished yet.
No, that's me. One of them. I'm the one who picks automatic W's.
Yeah. And you don't care. You be like, yeah, I don't give a fuck. I'm picking automatic winners.
I've already seen it. I want to share it with my homies. That's what I'm here to do.
And I don't knock that. That's why I like the way we choose. Everybody chooses differently.
Yeah.
You know, I choose just like, I choose normally just like off a trailer. You know, somebody goes, man, this is pretty good. I think you should check it out. I look at the trailer. I'm like, all right, it looks cool. Let me see. I literally take a risk. Rob is kind of like old school stuff.
Rob is just like, what can make us think the most?
Yeah. And what is considered like a classic and let's watch that.
Right.
Brennan, like you said, he picks what he fucking knows is going to get a W.
Yep.
And then Ice just picks Ice, you know.
That's a way to put it. He just picks.
Yeah.
Ice has by far the lowest overall rating on the picks he's gotten so far. He's been tough, man. Goblin Slayer was not a... Whew. That was a...
Yeah, Goblin Slayer was the worst out of our picks.
Yeah, what was his other pick?
It's Tokyo Ghoul.
Oh, man. Was that the second worst out of our picks, too?
That and Evangelion were probably neck and neck.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, he's a bottom feeder, but he talks the most junk. So, yes, Ice, that's for you. You can't defend yourself right now, which makes it even more fun because you ain't shit. But we still love you, though, man. We out here. Mm-hmm. We love you, too, Rob. This is, like I said, bonus episode. The only reason that Ice and Rob are not on this episode is because they some lazy hoes. And have not kept up on My Hero Academia. Yeah. So me and Keenan were excited to talk about it yesterday and today, and we can't talk with them about it. So they can't even listen to this episode until they finish it. They can't even listen to it unless they're trying to be Keenan and enjoy the spoilers. Go ahead. Make that stupid face.
What's wrong with spoilers, guys? Bro,
everything. Everything's wrong with spoilers. Get your face out the camera. Ain't nobody trying to see all that. But these dudes, they care about spoilers. And I think they actually both do care about this show. So I think after they watch the season, they might do their own version of this, possibly, where they talk about what their rating is or whatever it is. But yeah, like what Keenan said, we're here to give a rating to the fourth season of My Hero Academia and walk through it because we just was geeked in a mug. And this is a timely episode. I did not feel that the season was about to end.
I didn't either. I wasn't when I watched it was like, all right, season like end of season four, season five. I was like low key high. I was like, bro, you got me hyped now because we went through a pretty low moment in this season where I was just like, all right, bro, this is trash.
Yep.
And then we end with that, and we're just like, fam, you gotta make me wait until when is the season five premiere?
Doesn't even say. Like they talking about 2021, man. Like they're talking about summer 2021. Like they're talking about like we got a year at least to wait until that comes out, man. So we just gonna have to live off the embers and hopefully Demon Slayer, you know, saying could fill in the void because that would make me very happy. But it, just in case in the mid ground, I always got Black Clover. They always got my back. I don't know how they do it. They never stop putting out episodes every week. Like I think they've missed 2 weeks in like a year and a half. But either way, let's get into it. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do my micro Rob impression, and I'm gonna go through the episodes. We're gonna pause at certain points as we go through the episodes of like what happened because you know we don't remember everything. This stuff started coming out in October 12th, 2019. It is now April 2020, and we're right in the middle of coronavirus. We're remotely recording this episode as well. But you know, we out here. So you want to get it? You ready to hop in? And did I forget anything?
That's it. That's good.
Yeah. We're definitely not going to honor whatever Ice be trying to say. All right. And that was the best honoring. No. That's the best honoring he gets in this episode. This is a special episode.
Since he didn't watch.
He didn't watch.
Like, if he would have watched My Hero right now and he couldn't make this episode, then I would do it for him. But since he didn't keep up, that's his fault.
That's on him. Yeah. All right. So season starts out really trash. Episode one is just a recap episode of pretty much the ending of season three.
Doing this, My Hero. They do this every season, don't they?
I think so. But I'll give it to them. They don't do it as much as a lot of other animes, though, so it doesn't upset me as much. Because, like, you know, a lot of other animes, like, they'll just be in the middle of a season and be like, all right, let me recap the last five episodes. And you'd be like, what are you doing?
That's stupid. Now, here's the thing. I will say this is not too bad, especially if you're taking a year off before you put out another season. Then it makes sense if I do a quick recap because it's like, bro, we might have forgot a bunch of shit and everybody's not keeping up on YouTube. So you know what? I take that back.
It's not the worst thing. It could be worse.
Yeah.
All right. So they do a recap episode. The only thing that we pick up from this episode that we didn't know before is that there's this guy is a photographer, or his quirk is photography. So he's a journalist. It works really well. He can turn any part of his body into a camera, which is crazy. There's a lot of implications to that. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Your face.
I think it's mad corny. I think it's mad pervy. I think it can go so many bad ways. I'm not a fan of it. I would be if I woke up and was like, yo, Keenan, you get the quirk of cameras on your body. I'd be like, fuck.
Right.
This is what I got. I'll be a depressed fucking character. I'll be like the dude. No, I wouldn't be like him from that. What was that show? That movie with Jake Gyllenhaal.
You asking the wrong dude, fam.
Damn, I forgot what it's called.
If Rob was here, he would know.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so episode two, though. Episode two is popping. Like, in episode two, this is where we learn who Overhaul is. Overhaul introduces himself, and he tricks Twice. That's the guy with the split personality, into bringing him into the League of Villains headquarters. And while he's there, he sets a proposal to Tamura's. He says, like, look, pretty much, I'm not here to join y'all. Like, I'm here... For yeah, Tamura, like you said, like Keenan just did, Tamura's the main bad guy from the League of Villains with a face on his hand, a hand on his face. It can disintegrate shit, which is terrifying. But he pretty much is like, look, man, I'm not here to be your homie. I'm here for you to work for me. Because what's your plan? You know what I'm saying? And Tamura's like, what you mean, what's my plan? We're going to the evil descent? He's like, yeah, well, I have a full plan. Like, I have an actual plan that you can actually use. Y'all should follow me and follow my plan, and we can make all this junk happen. And that didn't go over too well, so a scrap ensues. And
two alphas going at it, I guess.
Yeah, two alphas going at it. And
we get our first death.
Mange is his name. He's the guy with the magnetism that you guys remember from the One for All versus All for One fight. He's the guy who can magnetize men and women separately and push them in different directions, like superpower magnetism to their bodies. And so, he's dead. like to what's his name? Overhaul literally just touches the man and disintegrates the top of his body, and he just falls and he's dead.
I remember I paused this and I was shook, bro. Yeah. Like I was like, oh, he ain't playing no fucking games.
And he cripples Mr. Compress. He cripples him as well. I mean, he lights them up. Like, let's just keep it all the way funky. Like, Overhaul is not to be fucked with. Like, he comes out the gate like, I am a real villain with a real plan. Y'all ain't bought these hands. So you let me know. He literally left his card, kind of like the Joker. Left his card, was like, call me when you're serious, fam. And then dipped out. And then also in that episode, this is the episode where Midoriya is introduced, wants Mirio to introduce him to Night Eye to be able to be part of his agency. So next episode is where he meets Night Eye, and Night Eye, he pretty much like wants to gain Mirio, introduces him to Night Eye, otherwise known as Lemillion. And Lemillion introduces Mirio to Night Eye, and Night Eye is just like, yo, like he pretty much tells him like, I ain't want you to be the one who got All for One. I know you got it from All Might, and I don't really respect you for it. I think Mirio should have got it. That's pretty much what he says.
And I mean, why not?
Why not? Well, I mean, the biggest why not is because, and the thing is, spoiler, who cares? Yeah. Like, in all honesty, Mirio doesn't need All for One. I mean, One for All. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. With his quirk, he does not need it.
No, the reason why I would say he I guess he kind of needs it is because that just gives him that boost of, like, just superhuman strength, which he doesn't really have. He goes off just like, I work out and I'm mad strong, my nigga, but besides that, you can't even hit me.
Yeah, imagine but the thing is
having
like,
power so you can't even hit me. Bro, it's like, that's the scariest thing ever.
I'm just saying like, oh, I feel that, but to the extent of like, when we see Lemillion or Mirio fight, it's just like, this man don't need no help.
Like, and he hasn't even honed it all yet. Yeah, he's but still he like, I'm working on it.
He didn't need All for One for All. He didn't need it. But at the same time, if he had it, he already is pretty much unstoppable, but if you gave him One for All too, then it's just, he's at that point, he's a god. And that's just what it is. But either way,
I would've became a villain if I was him. I'd be like, thank you All for One, I'm a villain now, bitch.
I feel like your internal, like other, all the All for One, One for All holders would just like revolt on you and then you would just probably die.
Yeah, maybe.
I guess. Something like that. But either way, Night Eye does not respect him. He does not. He puts him to the test. But at the end of the test, like pretty much Midoriya is doing like the thing where he jumps around the room trying to like, I forget. He's trying to take something from Night Eye's hand or something like that.
Yeah, and, he said, yeah.
And he couldn't do it because Night Eye can see all the moves he's going to do ahead of time. But the reason why Night Eye does partially acknowledge him is because he realizes that Night Eye has all these posters and memorabilia of All Might all over his office. And Midoriya never once steps on any of them. But he still manages to like bounce around the entire office to try to get the thing from Night Eye, while avoiding every single poster in All Might piece, which is impressive. But he still didn't win, so he's like, "Look, I'll take you in on my agency just to prove that you shouldn't have had this." Which is like, damn. It's like, all right, bro, like we out here.
Night Eye came off like a hoe at first, and even at the beginning when you first meet this dude, he got an old girl strung up on a little thing, whatever that too.
Yeah, he's
and
weird.
Just like, yo, what's happening here, bro?
He's so weird, man. Like, he's like, well, you gotta laugh because I don't laugh. Like, you gotta have a sense of humor because I don't have, whatever. I don't even want to get it. That doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about why that doesn't matter later. So up next, Midoriya and Mirio, they go on they're doing their scouts because now he's part of the agency. Night Eye gives them rounds to do. And while they're doing that, they encounter Eri. Eri is the girl with the little horn that's working with Overhaul or part of Overhaul's crew. They encounter her. She's terrified. Forced to work with them. And she's obviously terrified. Midoriya wants to save her from Overhaul. Mirio doesn't want to cause any issues because they know who Overhaul is at this point, and is like, yo, we don't want to scrap with this man in the street because we were directly...
Yo, you understand? I bring fear to your heart, son.
Yeah, everybody knew. Like, you don't come at Overhaul at the wrong time. Even Mirio was given a direct order from Night Eye not to engage or draw attention to yourself. And now they have this situation where a little girl is literally begging for help with her eyes, but then, you know, she sees what Overhaul's about to do because she knows what Overhaul can do. And he puts his hand out like he's about ready to scrap. And she's like, no, I'm okay. I'm going to go with him. Y'all are cool. Like, we're good. Like, do this.
Lemillion can't even be touched. And he was like, hey, fam, I don't want this head up. I don't want this one-on-one fade.
I think that it was more about he promised Night Eye that he wouldn't draw attention. Because
that could be true.
I can't imagine Mirio being afraid of anyone after you learn what his quirk is. Like, his permeation quirk. After what he did to the entire Class 1A in season 3 when he beat them all in like a minute. You know what I'm saying? He knocked all of them down unconscious almost in 1 minute.
He did. He worked them. But I'm saying like he's also still a kid, teenager. And he's like, this dude ain't. It's like I still think that mentality of being a teenager and fighting against a grown man, they're gonna still have the edge even if your quirk is stronger or better than theirs. Just off of mentality and life experience, because it's just like I know more than you. I know how to my quirk's perfected. Right. You still don't know how to use yours type stuff, but you know maybe he wasn't scared. I think his heart jumped a little bit. He's like, hey fam, but all right.
No, it's a problem. It's a real problem. Well, pretty much what happens after that is like the next episode is where Tamuro explains he pretty much comes up and says he only knows about overhaul plans as he takes out the bullet that hit Mr. Compress. Mr. Compress is the guy like has like he's a guy who could turn everybody into little beads. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. With the hat and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. He's the first person to get hit with one of those bullets that says it takes away your quirk. And that's how he wasn't able to fight in the first fight. And pretty much after episode 5 is when we get Red Riot fighting with my man in the alleyway, who had the quirk enhancement drug from Overhaul. And he takes the drug and he has to go, Red Riot has to go beyond his limit to be extra hard, because my man has like knives quirk that goes like super crazy. Gets really extra hard, breaks all my man's knives quirk without even having to get the overdrug. And honestly, I kind of felt underwhelmed by this episode because I don't care about Red Riot's powers. Like, I can get hard. And then harder. And I'm just like, this has so many 12-year-old jokes inside of it.
That's what she says a bunch, like 1,000 times, times two.
There's so much. There's so much. Yeah. And so the next episode after that, like, now they realize that they have the bullets. The heroes realize that they have a big meeting at Night Eye's agency where he brings in a bunch of other agencies to say, look, here's all the information we've gathered from the time that we've been going around. And what they do is they say, look.
We get our first glimpse at a black guy, man.
First black guy in the show.
Y'all 4 seasons.
But he's a boss. Like, he comes in like, who are these kids at this meeting? Why are there children here? They don't know what they're doing. Like, I felt almost every word he said. He came off like a dick, but he was trying to protect them. You know, because it's just like, this is serious shit. We're talking about League of Villains and, you know, Overhaul. Like, these guys ain't no hoes, you know?
Yeah. I felt the way at first, but then, like, when I made sense of that, too, I was like, all right, it's more along the line of, like, protecting. And I understand that his delivery might not have been the best, but he's like, bro, this is how he delivers. But, yeah, black guy. I was like, hell yeah.
Bro. And in this meeting, what's revealed is that they analyze what that little bullet thing that they got when Red Riot defeated their guy, that he uses that, and they found blood cells inside of it. And they extrapolated from that there's a high probability, because they know a little bit about Ares' quirk, that they're actually using parts of her body as a weaponized material to either enhance or take away people's quirk, which makes Midoriya and Muriel pretty much like lose their minds, because they're like, we could have saved this little girl from this kind of torture. They're literally taking
part. Could you? Could you have? Don't get cocky now. See, that's the thing. They got real cocky with that, because here's the thing. I don't know how much Midoriya knew about Overhaul's power.
Right.
But I think he goes and attacks. And if he goes and attacks without that knowledge, he's done. Now, Lumileon is a whole different ballgame. Like, he can't be touched. So I think he watches Midoriya go, ooh, oh, shit. And then he got to do what he got to do. He's actually the hero at this point. Midoriya's dead. That's the end of My Hero Academia.
Awesome. Look, we haven't even talked about what Overhaul's quirk is. We'll get back to that, because you're right. If Midoriya would have done his typical Midoriya attacking pattern, it would have been a massacre.
You're dead.
Absolutely. And so the next episode is called Go. And that's where Midoriya and Muriel have to overcome their heavy emotions about not saving Eren in the first place. And doing they do a big joint operation to have all these hero agencies along with the police to go into Overhaul's space and pretty much capture all the villains. That's what the goal is here. They need to get Eri, because they realize how dangerous it is. They can take away people's quirk. They can give people enhanced quirk. They're like, we can't let this be on the streets. So they show up. They pull up with pretty much everybody, except like they only take a few students, the ones that have the provisional license exams that also have had direct contact in some way, shape, or form with either Overhaul or Eri or something. But it's like, we're not going to get Bakugo. We're not going to get what's his name?
Todoroki. Let me say something. I was hot, because I don't care. This is my guy. And Bakugo, these are two dudes that would have helped you in this situation.
Yes and no, but they're also like, you got to think about it as an adult. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can't depend on children to fight our battles. Like, we're heroes. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what we do. There's 7 agencies here. We got 30 heroes. You know what I'm saying? We have a small amount of kids. Like, we don't have to just, we don't need to put all these kids in danger. We already have enough.
We already got
enough. You know what I'm saying?
All right, I'll give you that.
All right, so they get in there and the scrap ensues. Pretty much right off the bat, one of these guys has an enhanced quirk that separates the heroes and the police officers because he has the ability to manipulate space or like the space that they're in. So he's pretty much like creates hallways and things like that and separates them and puts Sun Eater. Again, Sun Eater is like, yo, guys, y'all keep going ahead. These three guys come out. He's like, I'll take these on by myself. And then Muriel's like, nah, man, like you shouldn't do that. And they're like, no, Muriel actually believes in him. Everybody else is like, we got to stay and fight. Muriel's like, let's go. He got this. Yeah. I know my fam. Like, he got this. Sun Eater ain't no hoe. And so they start scrapping. And Sun Eater is not a hoe.
He's not.
Like, he is. His quirk is his ability to eat anything and be able to take on the attributes of whatever that is he eats. So if he eats octopus, now he has tentacles that he can use. If he eats a hard shell clam, then he can make the tentacles have hard shell clams on them. You know, like, he can put – his quirk has multiple levels to it depending on what he eats. Yeah, he can stack his quirk. And so he just has a bunch of pockets all over him of things that he's found useful in his time as a hero or as a student.
That's low-key a dope quirk. Oh, you think it's a game, huh? Oh, hold on.
Yeah, exactly. Right? You're just like, yo, oh, this is funny? This is funny to you? Okay, hold on a second. Let me go ahead and eat this jalapeno.
You can eat and fight? That's low-key dope.
Yes.
But he starts to get work in this fight right here. Because he's pretty much he's fighting with 3-on-1, really, right?
Yeah, it's 3-on-1. And it's Overhaul's elite people, too. Like, these guys got – one of them has, like, crystals where he's just, like – he's really strong and he has crystals. The other guy – what were the other two? One of them can eat anything. Like, he just can eat through anything, like, really fast. And it was dope because Eraserhead, right when they were leaving, he's like, yeah, y'all can go ahead and fight or whatever. But he immediately erases two guys' quirks, erases one guy's quirk and knocks him out and then just dips. And I was like, he realized that guy is an eater and he's going to eat through everything. So Eraserhead just erased his quirk, bust that man and kept it moving because Eraserhead is without question one of the best heroes in this show.
Absolutely. Did you get a chance, just a side note, but did you get a chance to kind of read like his, a little bit of his history?
No,
there's like a little manga, like a side manga where they kind of explain like when he was young and how I think it's him and Hawk.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Don't quote me on that. But how he kind of came up and he's just like, man, like why he's even a teacher right now. It's pretty dope. Why he's not like out there.
You read it?
Yeah, it's short. It's like maybe like a few chapters, if that, or it might even be just one, actually one manga, I think.
Can you send that to me?
I will send you to, it might be on a YouTube page that I saw. I'll send it to you.
All right. Good luck.
Yeah.
So the next episode is called, so he's starting to fight them. And we'll just tell you what happens. He wins because he just goes plus ultra. That's just kind of the theme of the show. And he lights them up. Like, and it's impressive. His quirk is very impressive. He did not have a bit. That fight could have gone either way. If he was fighting any one of those guys, they would have had no chance whatsoever. But because he was fighting 3-on-1, they had a chance. But this man is truly powerful and lights them up. But he takes a heavy toll because he gets beat up too. But he's fine. But that's what he did. His goal, his whole thing for this fight is he took out three of the elite fighters from Overhaul's crew by himself like a goddamn boss. Up next is the episode is called Red Riot. Now, remember I told you guys earlier is that my man was moving all the walls and stuff and separating everybody. Two of the people who got separated were Fat Gums and Red Riot. They got separated to a basement area, and they did not draw the best straws. I'll say that.
I thought it was death.
Oh, yeah, because they get down there, and one of the guy's quirk is like a strength quirk where he just is like super strong and just like a crazy, I just want to fight the strongest person I could find.
Yeah.
And the other guys is like kind of like Wonder, what's her name? Mrs. Invisible from the Fantastic Four, where she can like make shields out of wherever she wants. And so in the fight against those two guys is Red Riot, who can make himself hard, and then Fat Gum, who can absorb contact pretty much. He could absorb any kind of like shock absorption and then throw it back.
Kind of like the Blob from X-Men.
Very much so like the Blob from the X-Men. Yeah. And so they start scrapping, and it's very quickly realized that my man's strength is stronger than Fat Gum's ability to absorb. What's
all body shots?
Yeah, he's just like,
shit.
And Red Riot just takes an L right at the beginning of this fight, so it's pretty much he just gets lit, and so it's pretty much Fat Gum by himself, like doing his thing, like being a boss and like taking these hits.
I'll say this about Fat Gum. I didn't respect him like that at first.
No, I didn't either. As a hero, he's just like a big blubbery dude.
Yo. I was just like, he's going to be trash. What is he here? What does he do? I mean, you can absorb some stuff, but that's kind of I mean, it's not whack, but this is like the way his character design to me, I thought he was trash.
Well,
but
he takes in all that energy, all that kinetic energy. And then he builds it up and he's like, I need a second to be able to like release all this. And Red Riot comes back, goes full hard mode, takes a couple hits, takes a really bad hit, actually. Yeah. Pretty much almost dies, but he takes it like a boss. Like, keep it real. He does show up. He shows up. Like, he shows up, he does what he's supposed to do. And that allows Fat Gum to be a boss and like release all that kinetic energy and light both them motherfuckers up.
And he lost all his weight too.
Yeah, and he looks kind of dope when he lost all his weight. He looks like he's like buff, you know?
Yeah. I respected that. I wonder, is that like, does he have to keep going back to being fat and skinny? Is that like his thing? Is like to?
I think that's his quirk. Like, his quirk is gone when he's like muscly. He's just a muscly dude now. His quirk no longer exists because he used all of it, which is crazy.
But he earned my respect 100% after that, man.
Oh, dude, and even
the dude that he was fighting wasn't on some like villain shit. He's kind of just like, man, I'm trying to fight whoever the strongest. Yes. You out here? I gotta just whoop your ass, fam. You in the way. It's like, that's really what it was to him.
Right.
And he really didn't respect the dude that was doing the shield stuff too. He didn't really respect him. The other dude, the shield, didn't respect him either. It was kind of like, bro, you a meathead to me.
Right.
But I'm assigned to you because we kind of work together. Your power, I'm defense. You know, I'm your offense, I'm defense.
Right. And one thing we... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm done. Yeah.
No, I'll say one thing we skimmed over is that the League of Villains, Tamura, actually ended up reaching out back to Overhaul and saying, yo, like, we're not friends, but I'm going to loan a couple people to you because your plan does sound good. So he loans, he actually loans them, two of the members of the League of Villains, Himiko and Twice. Twice is the guy that can copy himself or copy other people. Himiko is a girl who can, like, she takes part of your blood. She can become you, which is terrifying.
Both of those are terrifying because, well, Twice, he just can't be, he's not as powerful as you when he clones you or whatever the case may be, but he's still pretty powerful.
Yeah, whoever he clones, like if he walks up to you and clones you, it's like he takes half your power or half of whatever you are. And every time he clones that, it becomes half of that, which is crazy. That's a crazy fucking, crazy quirk. So they show up and they're helping Overhaul when Overhaul looks like he's winning and the guy that's in the ceiling and stuff like that. He's the one who's really making it a hard time for everybody to get to Overhaul and get to Eri. But they actually betray him and pretty much sell him up to the heroes, and Night Eye knocks him out. So that stops all the walls from moving. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, Lemillion is like, doesn't matter. He can't stop my man because he can phase through everything. He's just going straight for Tomorrow. And two guys step in front of him. You remember that? Like, you probably don't even remember that. Like, it happened so quick. Like, these two guys, like... Overhaul is just like, yo, like, y'all two stop him. We're going to me and Eri out of here. And they're like, all right, cool. And, like, almost as soon as they say, all right, cool, like, Lemillion, like, they're like, oh, you're going to be drunk now. Like, they gave him, a thing where he's drunk. And then the other guy's like, I can make you answer any question. Honestly, those are the two quirks. And he just knocks him out like that. Like, he's just like,
No, he not that quickly because he says what his quirk is, remember?
Yeah.
He tells him. He tells him. He's like, why did I say that to you? And that's what he tells him. So it wasn't super quick. But they didn't hold up a chance once he got to him.
They used their full quirks against my man. He took the brunt of their quirks. He told them exactly what his quirk was. And he was drunk. He lost his sense of equilibrium, considering that his entire quirk makes him lose his sense of equilibrium all the time when he goes underground and loses everything. Can't breathe, can't do anything. And he still pops up on them hoes and lights them up almost instantaneously. He's just like, go ahead.
I forgot. Did Overhaul hear all that?
Yeah, Overhaul was listening. Well, he's still walking away. He heard it kind of happening. And that's what starts episode 11, which is one of the dopest episodes that anime has ever made in general. I'm stand by that. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Episode 11 of season 4 of My Hero Academia is one of the dopest episodes of anime, period.
Well, I thought it was 11 and 12. Was it 11 and 12?
It's mostly 11. Number 11 is named Lemillion. And this is pretty much like at the beginning of this episode, he takes out those two guys. And then he scraps with Overhaul and his homie who I don't even know what my man's quirk was. Like the guy that's like little guy, the hooded dude. Doesn't matter what his quirk was, to be honest, because Lemillion is phasing through and giving these guys the most pop, like the hands on a level I've never seen anyone give anyone. Like he is doing so, like Keenan, can you talk about the type of work that Lemillion does to these guys in this episode? Like,
I mean, to be honest with you, he's just when I first saw his character design, Lemillion, I wasn't a real fan. And then I saw what he did when I saw what he did to the students, I was like to Class A, I was just like, all right, this dude is a fucking beast. Like you said, you can't mess with him. you really can't beat this dude.
No.
And he's giving them issues. Like, they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do with him. He's smacking them up. And I forgot how things get.
What happens is so what he does immediately, he shows up, he busts both of them, knocks them both down, almost knocks them both out. He thought he knocked out the little guy. And for some reason he didn't, because he's like, maybe I'm still drunk from the other guy's quirk. Maybe I missed. But what it ended up being is Overhaul was actually repairing my man's consciousness. I don't know if you picked up on that. And so Overhaul was repairing his consciousness, repairing the both of them while they were fighting against Muriel. But Muriel, in that meantime, after knocking them both down, grabs Eri and then takes her away to safety. And then Overhaul is just like, no, sir, and starts like lighting up the ground and making all that kind of stuff. And then Muriel is like holding her in all these different spaces in different ways and helping dodge. Like, he's dodging and like everything's going through him, but his hands are still hard where he's holding her, and he's being a boss. Like, he is protecting her and dealing with it. If Eri wasn't there, they did not have a fighting chance in hell to fight this guy. The only reason they had a chance is because he had to protect someone. And so he does a really dope move where he covers, like, he's like, they're starting to do, like, he has a, one of the guys, the little guy's a gun, and the Overhaul's trying to scrap, and they're like, yo, shoot him. You know what I'm saying? Like, shoot him on his arm, like, aim for his arm with Eri in it. He covers her in the cloak, and then he disappears underground and comes up and knocks my man senseless with the gun, and then comes over to Overhaul and then lights him up too. And I was just like, oh my God. And then that guy pulls out the gun with the quirky racing thing and shoots it at Eri, and then, of course, my man.
He's a hero. He has to protect her.
Yeah, he takes his arm out and he takes the bullet. And after that, Overhaul stabs him pretty severely with some of the ground that he's... Because his power is to be able to deconstruct and reconstruct anything. So, like, he can touch the ground and turn it into spikes of the ground up towards you, or reconstruct in any way that he can imagine, which is terrifying.
I was sad because I thought... Like, I started to like Lumileon at this point. Yeah. And I was like, is he going to fucking die? Like...
I was like,
you just introduced him.
Yeah, like, I love his attitude. I love his quirk. Yeah. I love his intelligence. Everything about him is amazing. And so in this moment, even being that, he still stood there and took the stabbings to be able to protect her right to the chest. Chest, to the leg. He took it. And at that moment is when Night Eye and Midoriya show up and are able to grab Eri and grab Muriel and like pull him back while Overhaul is getting ready to, like, just letting them know, like, y'all don't want these problems. Give her back to you right now. It's pretty much like...
My main problem is he's out the way.
Yeah. He's like, y'all don't have Lumileon no more, so...
I ain't worried about y'all.
Y'all don't want these hands, which he's right. In all honesty, Overhaul is correct. And up next, oh, God. They all catch up, and they're trying to protect Eri, but it's not going well. Yeah. Goodness gracious. And like, they go back in time and realize that Eri is the big boss of granddaughter. Granddaughter, because they're part of an actual Yakuza, I think is what they are.
Yakuza group, yeah.
Yeah, so Overhaul wants to revamp the Yakuza because the Yakuza is like dwindling because they don't have quirks like a lot of these other villain groups is, but Overhaul does, and he's like, yo, we can do this. And then like, they're like, no, we have a code. And then he literally puts the old man who's in charge of the Yakuza out of commission. Like, he reconstitutes my man's body so he's in a coma. And he's like, I'll fix you after I fix what we have going on. And so he puts my man in a coma, takes over, and then takes his granddaughter, the old man gives him, and like, he's like, yo, here's what my plan is. We're going to manufacture from her blood how to get rid of all these quirks and give people quirks and make all the money as well as hold all the power, which actually is an amazing villain plan. Like,
I'm just like, oh shit, that's that's the reason why you're a villain. I gotta applaud you on that, man.
Yeah, and so we go back to the fight, and Night Eye orders Midoriya to take Muriel and Eri to safety, and he gets them out of the way pretty much. And when Night Eye is fighting against Overhaul, which he's doing okay because he can predict what Overhaul is going to do. But what he ends up seeing when he looks at Overhaul is that Overhaul is going to win. Not only is he going to win, he's going to kill Midoriya. And he's going to kill Midoriya is pretty much what he sees. And he's going to kill him. So he pretty much is like, y'all leave. Get out of here. Take her with you. That's what you need to do. But we all know Midoriya ain't about that life. And so...
I ain't no bitch!
Pretty much. And so Night Eye ends up getting hit pretty hard by some of Overhaul's...
Bro, he's taking it to the leg. He took one, I think, right through the chest, like...
Through the solar plexus,
man. Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty bad. And he's still fighting, though. And he pretty much... It's pretty bad. Wow. Okay, so let me read. I'm reading this, guys, just so you know. Because like I said, we watched this back in October. But it says, but Toga, posing as Izuki, orchestrates the girls into defeating Rika. Oh, so up above, there's another fight going on between the League of Villains people, the copies, versus the girls. Like the girl that can float, the girl with the that becomes a dragon. She's like an actual hero. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that fight's happening.
Yeah, yes.
And that fight like smashes down through the ceiling on top of the overhaul fight with Night Eye and Midoriya. And they
so much going on.
And so they pop in there and everybody's like, oh, what's about to happen? And Overhaul takes his homie, like the guy that's really buff, and assimilates him into his body, which is like, oh my God. And Night Eye sees how everybody dies and he's like, yo, everybody just needs to run right now because this is about to be really bad. And this is where Midoriya steps up. Like he's fighting, he's trying to fight him and he's getting lit up. He grabs Eri. And he does like a 100% move, which is supposed to destroy his arm or his leg, whichever one he was going to use, and it didn't. But Ari's touching him, and he's just like, is this your quirk?
Remember, then, he kicked him up into the sky. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he kicked the mess out of him up into the sky, and he's like, all right, now I'm not going to be able to fight anymore. But he's like, my leg is okay. And it's because Ari's touching him, and Ari's touching him, and he realizes that, oh, my God, your quirk is to, like, reverse time or whatever, so you can fix me as I break myself. He's like, say no more, fam. I need your help. I'm about to go full throttle with my quirk. It's gonna break my body. I need you to fix me. Can you lend me your help? And she's just like, I don't know. He's like, no, just do it. And she's like, all right. And this,
I will say, like, also Overhaul says some things that kind of, like, if you think about it, like, might affect people mentally. He's saying, like, yo, she's like a curse. Like, she's not good. And he's like, no, like, she's not, bro. Like, she's a blessing. Like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, but I'm about to use these blessings to fuck you up.
So, and I'll say is these three episodes right here, from Lemillion, episode 11, 12, and 13, to Infinite 100% is the name of this episode. Again, Lemillion is one of the best episodes in anime history. These three episodes right here are some of the best three episodes I've seen in anime, too. Because when Midoriya goes, 100%, holy shit. He's so powerful that he's just like, he can fly. And he can fly because he just uses the wind force from his legs kicking around that he can just like, jump from place to place to place way better than All Might flew. When All Might flew, he was so clunky and he would just throw himself with a fit, like a punch. Midoriya is kicking himself into the direct areas, and Overhaul does not have a chance against this man.
Yeah, and if you go, actually, you can go, we'll probably put it in the link below or something like that, but you go watch that. We broke down that episode just by itself.
Bruh.
I think it was myself, Brennan, and Rob, and that episode was just like, it gave me chills. We talk about it, it gave me actual chills, and there hasn't been many anime that have done that.
Yeah.
In like the last, I would say last like 5 to 10 years. Like Fullmetal Alchemist is one of them, and this is one of them. Demon Slayer is one of them.
Yep, Demon Slayer for sure.
There hasn't been a whole bunch
that can get you that emotionally involved, bring it up to the crest the way it does, and then also satisfy you with the animation, the voice acting, and the fight.
Everything was perfect. Perfect. For this episode.
This episode went so fucking hard. Like, I can't. I'm not even gonna. Y'all just go watch the other episode. We're not even gonna try to give that justice because
This should be. We'll tell the podcast I put on YouTube. We'll tell them to put a link down below
to that episode.
So you can watch to that episode. But go ahead.
All right. And so after that, the next episode is pretty much them cleaning up everything. One of the big things that happens in the previous episode is that Night Eye loses his shit because his quirk is to be able to see the future, and he's never been wrong until he meets Midoriya, and Midoriya changes the future by working with Eri to be able to defeat Overhaul and not die. And Night Eye, just, his mind is just blown. He's just like, what the hell? So they pretty much airlift Night Eye and a bunch of other people to the hospital because he's like, let's keep it real, he's fatally wounded.
Bro, the wound is still in him. That brick or whatever, that pointed piece of concrete, is still in his body. It's like, they can't even take it out.
And Night Eye is also All Might's former assistant, like his backup hero, his sidekick, whatever. And so they had to come to terms, like All Might visits him in the hospital the next episode, and they come to terms with like All Might not listening to his recommendations about him dying and everything like that. And Night Eye has a whole new perspective on life because of Midoriya now. He's just like, yo, I'm not sure what's going to happen. I thought I knew everything, but I don't know. Like, but I do know that Mirio, you're going to be a great hero, man. I know you lost your quirk, but you're good, fam. You're going to be the greatest. And then he dies. It's very sad.
Do you think that he actually saw Mirio's future? Or do you think he just said that just to be like, hey man, just to keep him going?
That's a good question. I don't know. I thought about that when it happened. Because he showed his quirk activate when he said it. But that doesn't mean that he told him the truth, because like, why would he believe his quirk is truth anymore anyway? He just should tell him what he wants to hear. So I would say flip a coin, fam.
Yeah, flip a coin. I honestly didn't cry over this. But when Night Eye died, I got attached to Night Eye somewhat too. I'm not glad they killed him, but they killing him at this moment, I was able to take it better. I feel like if they would have gave me a full season with him and then killed him in season five, I'd have been like, damn, man, because you're attached to him. But I was hurt, man. I was just, when he turned over and had this, that flatline hit, that I was like, oh, he's dead.
This show, I didn't think this show would have death. We saw a few. But yeah, there was death. It's pretty intense. All right, so what happens next is like, all right, so they wrap up all that, Night Eye dies, and then the next thing happens is up in the mountains, Gran Torino finds, he's there with the police investigating some things that are, like rumors that are happening out in the woods or something like that. And I think this is actually foreshadowing for season five, this whole part right here. I don't know if you remember this or not, but Gran Torino goes out into the woods.
And he fights that giant.
Yeah, he fights that giant dude, and he's there, and the Kurigari guy, that's the guy that has the warp gates, the purple guy from season one. It's always with the League of Villains. He's there too, and they run into him, and they run into Giga Manchia, which is like this giant like guy who's apparently one of the strongest people that All For One had, that he kept in, like, he pretty much was like, yo, if shit hits the fan tomorrow, then call this guy in. He'll fix whatever it is. So now Tamura is calling him in. It's pretty much what's happening. And that's why Gran Torino sees him. Gran Torino barely escapes. But the warp guy and the villain they escape as well. And that just kind of, nobody knows what happens with that.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. I had forgotten about that until this moment. And so from there, Eri's healing. And then now it's time for Shoto and Kasuki. So Bakugo
we skipped the whole thing about how Overhaul is done. Remember, they transported him.
They're transporting
him, and then the League of Villains kind of like sabotages everything.
I got it right here. Actually, League of Villains intercepts the police convoy to Tacona Villain Hospital to make Overhaul suffer, which they do. And tomorrow, Mr. Compress destroys Overhaul's arms so he can never use his quirk again. While taking the quirk, destroying bullets as their own. So they take his quirk, destroying bullets. They destroy his arm so he can't use his quirk, but he's still alive. They leave him there to suffer.
Bro, you want to talk about motherfucking karma?
Yeah,
that is the biggest and best. And honestly, who's the dopest villain so far? What'd you say his name with the hands thing? I forgot how to say his name.
Tomorrow.
I like
Overhaul and Stain more than him.
I like Stain more. I like him and Overhaul kind of neck and neck. But he's getting shit done. Because he's just like, all right, even if he's like, all right, I'm overpowered. Or he's like, I'll let you do the burn of the world, get fucked up. And then I'll come in when I need to take care of shit. And then
that's what he did.
He's been a dope. I like him definitely better than All For One, One For All.
All I'll say is that this show, one of the greatest strengths of this show over everything else is that it has some of the greatest villains I've seen. And that's what makes it so great, is because we're over here arguing about which villains are the dopest, and we're not even talking about the sub-villains, like the muscle guy that Midoriya had to fight at the camp. You know what I'm saying? Like,
You know
what I'm saying? Like, there's been so many, or even like the Nomus. Like, the Nomus themselves are incredible.
Monsters.
Incredible villains, because they're like, you know what I'm saying? But it's like they're pawns, but they're also villains themselves, and they're also incredible. So there's so many layers to the villains in the show that it forces there to be so many layers to the heroes. And I think that's what I love about the show, is that I think they wrote the villains before they wrote the heroes, personally.
And I like how Stain is not really a villain, but he's like, I guess you could put him in that category if you want to, or he's just like an anti-hero type, but it's just...
Yeah, Stain's like, you just be yourself, be authentic to whatever you say. You're going to do something, then be it. And that's it. Like, Stain's like, be who you said you're going to be. If you're not a real hero, then you die. And I'm going to put you to the test. Like, you said you're a hero.
I made one mistake. Nah, fam. Now I got to cut your throat, bro.
Nah, that's not real hero-ness. But even, like, I love that he immediately recognized that Midoriya, like, when Stain was fighting Midoriya, he immediately recognized, like, Midoriya did that first move, and he was just like, I'm not going to kill you. Like, that was a really good move. Like,
yeah.
That, like, most people would be messed up from this move. I'm not, because I'm incredible, but... You're the real deal. You're the truth. Like, you didn't show up here to be a hero. You showed up here to save people. You show up here to put yourself on the line to be in other people's business because they need you to be there, even though they didn't ask for you to be there. You know, yeah. And it's just like, you're the truth. The rest of these motherfuckers are about to die, but you're the truth. And I was like, that's super dope. I'm over here dropping stuff. All right, so we're going to be able to move through the next parts pretty quick.
Yes, we will.
So the next part is, so Todoroki and Bakugo are, they don't have the provisional license exams, as we learned in the last season. So now they have to go and take, like, extra courses. And to say, long story short, this is feels like filler, but it also is necessary to be able to get them to where they need to be. And it is probably something that's going to come up later in season 5, I think, is that they had to learn how to develop their personalities, not necessarily their powers, because they both do have personality dysfunction. Todoroki.
That's true. I'll give you that. Todoroki, he's not very emotional. He's kind of just...
He's just like, everything has to be logical. And it's like, and Bakugo's the opposite. Everything is super emotional. And so they both kind of find a middle ground and working with kids that have really terrifying quirks, to be fully honest. But these kids...
Every single one of these kids were pieces of shit. I didn't like these kids at all.
No, but their quirks were actually pretty terrifying.
Absolutely.
And they had to work with the tornado guy who also failed the provisional exam. And the girl copied for the provisional exam, she was never even there. Who's pretty in the show and likes Todoroki, hits on him hard, hits on him immediately. He gets hit on a lot. Hits on him immediately. So they all had to work together to be able to win over these kids' hearts because their teacher can't control them. And these kids are pretty much going to be turning into be villains. And they do it. Yeah. They work together. They get all their quirks together. And it's actually kind of cool how they do it.
This felt like filler, but like you said, I wasn't too mad at this. I was just mad that Todoroki's been on the bench this whole time.
Yes.
That's all.
So they do it, and at the same time, while all this is happening, Endeavor talks to All Might. This is a big part here. All Might and Endeavor and the stands together as a plot pushing forward tool, where Endeavor just humbles himself to All Might. He's like, man, like, honestly, like, what is it? What is this? What is this hope? Like, what is it to be, you know, the sign? What is it called? What do they call it? The signal of hope or
the symbol of peace?
The symbol of peace. What does that mean? You know, he's like, because he knows I'm about to be the number one hero, but everybody knows that there's something that's missing. Like, how can I fill the void that you have left? And All Might doesn't really have an answer for him. He's just like, yo, like, you just got to do it, fam. Like, it's pretty much what he's...
I was just being me and being real out here in these streets. And people dug it.
Right.
You a dickhead, bro. You beat your wife, your kids, you know.
And I think this is a good turning point. Person. And this is a turning point for Endeavor. And to the point where, like, even Endeavor is watching it, and he told Shora how proud he was, how proud he looks at Todoroki. He's like, look, at the end of the provisional exam, he got the license. And he says, look, man, I'm really proud of you, but I want you to be proud of me and the hero that I am. That's what I want you to be, and you will be. Just watch me. It's pretty much what he says. And his son's like, whatever, Dad. Little does he know.
Shut up, Dad. I hate you, Dad.
Little does he know, Endeavor means every word that came out of his mouth. Yeah. So they get the licenses, and up next is the worst stretch of episodes in My Hero Academia's history. I'm going to breeze through this as quickly as possible. It's the school festival arc.
And you're done. That's it.
Should be it. All I'll say is I think the only reason I'm going to bring up Gentle Criminal is because I think Gentle Criminal is going to come back as a hero. I personally believe that. So Gentle Criminal's his ability is his quirk is elasticity, whatever. He can make anything turn into like rubber, including air. And so he pretty much just has a random, like, the kids are going to have a festival. It's a yearly thing at the school. It's stupid. The kids decide they're going to put on a band concert show because the girl with the ears can do music and they all dance and do a show for the students. It's a big morale booster, blah, blah, blah. But in the meanwhile, there's a hero called, what's his name again?
Gentle
Criminal and La Brava. Who they want to ruin the festival because they want to bring names, like, he wants fame for his YouTube channel, pretty much, which is okay.
That's it.
That's really what he wants. And so he is charismatic, though. I'm not gonna lie, like, I found Gentle Criminal to be an interesting character. I will say that. Like, he's interesting. He's not a good villain. He's not a good hero. He's just an interesting motherfucker. But either way, he's very, like, I gotta drink my tea ahead of time. He's very, like, charismatic and, like, big, and he has this little girl who's in love with him and follows him around. Her quirk is really interesting too. Is the more that she loves you, the more she can power up your quirk. And it's just like,
which is dope. But how is she of age?
I don't know. I imagine that she was. That she's just like a midget, like a little person. Is kind of what I thought she was.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Either way,
that's not politically correct, Brennan.
Little person is the way to say it, isn't it?
You said midget first.
Oh well, I said little person. Whatever. And so they pretty much get into a scrap with Midoriya, because Midoriya doesn't want them to ruin the festival because he believes, because Eri is going to be there with Mirio. And if any kind of security issue happens, they're going to shut down the whole festival because of all the villain attacks that have happened for all the things at UA lately. They can't take any risks. And so they almost do it, but they don't. Midoriya stops them for the most part, and they get arrested. And that's pretty much it. Let's just leave it at that. Unless there's anything you think I missed.
I struggled through these episodes, bro. When we get our end points, I'll say what I got to say about that.
I mean, that's really it. Like, they did it, and the school festival happens, and when we're
doing our wrap ups for both our opinions, I'll say what I got to say.
Okay, so yeah, either way, they did it. And then after that, we get into the final two episodes. And the final two episodes are the Japanese Hero Billboard chart. And pretty much what happens now is they move Eri to the UA. That's the school. Mm-hmm. And the Wild Wild Pussycats actually came to visit. And Kodo shows up for Deku's surprise. Kodo's the guy who was saved earlier. He has the water hose.
Yeah.
Water hoses kids. That was one of the best fights in the show. So they do that. Pixie Bob receives a message from Tutoros that said the All for One has Ragdoll's quirk. And he'll give it back. But he's like, I'll give it back. But that means I got to use my quirk. And y'all ain't going to let me do that. So Ragdoll no longer has a quirk because he took it because he liked her quirk. And elsewhere is time for the broadcast of the Japanese Hero Billboard chart. And this is where we learn about Hawks. If you've seen the movie, Hawks is in the movie, the most recent movie. He doesn't do very much in the movie.
Yeah.
But he was in there, and I was wondering why he was in there. And now we know, because he's extremely prominent at the end of season four, where he's dope. I like Hawks.
He's a bit of an asshole.
I like Hawks.
And arrogant, but
I like Hawks.
I did like him still. For some reason, I liked him because he handled business. We'll get to that, but
yeah, he handles business. So pretty much what this whole episode is really about setting up the Billboard chart, where every X amount of time the heroes announce, like, it's announced what the heroes' rankings, like who's number one hero down and below. And so actually ended up being Endeavor was number one and Hawks was number two. And that surprised a lot of people because Hawks is very young. And he's also not a super powerful villain. I mean, hero.
Hawks might be like under 25 or some shit like that.
Yeah, he's very young. But his power is extremely helpful. It's really what it comes down to. Each one of his feathers, he can make each one of his feathers sentient in the sense of giving them orders and they can follow his orders out.
That's hard.
Which is crazy. And they're also very strong feathers. And he can use his feather as a sword. He can fly really good. He can make other people fly. He can make a human being fly with one feather from his back, which is crazy.
But he actually starts to like lose flight when he starts to like let all his feathers go.
So he has a limit to how many feathers he has or whatever. And so pretty much Hawks at the end of it, like, you know, Endeavor, Hawks gives a big speech pretty much saying like, y'all ain't shit. All y'all talking, but y'all ain't being about it. Like, y'all need to be about it. If you want to be
easy. I actually like that part.
Yeah, he's kind of like Stain, actually. Yeah. Hawks kind of sound a lot like Stain. And he really took a lot of the heroes didn't really like what he had to say, including Endeavor. And then Endeavor took the mic after that, was just like, just watch me, which I honestly thought was like, was G as fuck. Like,
that's the only way to follow that.
Yeah, he's like, y'all just watch me. Like, these people talking, we got a stage, y'all got awards, you got numbers, whatever. Just watch me. You know what I'm saying?
Drop the mic. That's right, bitch. Bow. Drop the mic.
And then
walked off.
Yeah, he walks off, and then Hawks follows him, and it's just like, yo, man, like, I got somebody to tell you about the League of Villains. And, you know, I got some more information. And he's like, oh, what you got? And he pretty much reveals that none of them.
He's like dragging him on for a minute. He's like, bro, you're wasting my time, fam. And Endeavor's like, yo, you're wasting my time. What's happening? Also, too, Hawks said he never wants to be the number one hero anyways.
No, he knows he can be.
He's like, bro, I'm here to the fact that I even got number two, I was chilling. I wasn't even doing as much as I could do. So that shows you he probably could have been number one because he didn't go full speed. He didn't go ham on trying to be number one.
Not even trying. And so he lures Endeavor into a conversation, into dinner. And like they go into a restaurant. And Dabby, who is the blue flame villain from the League of Villains, sends the Nomu to attack Endeavor at dinner, which raises all kind of fan theories that we'll get into in a minute. But he sends this crazy powerful Nomu to attack, and he's just like, who's the strongest? And that's how the episode ends. And I remember I called you, Keenan, after that episode, and I was like, did you see the ending of that episode? Because it's about to go all the way down. We're about to finally see what Endeavor can do.
We talked about this, I think. I forgot. We might have talked about this maybe. Oh, I think we talked about this when we broke down the movies. We were saying how We haven't really got to see Endeavor go to work yet. He had a moment with Nobu earlier, but
it was easy for him. Yeah. It was easy.
So we were just like, man, when is he going to go to work? Oh.
Endeavor shows us what he can do in the final episode of the season, mm-hmm. where he and Hawks fight against this incredibly powerful Nomu. This is the first Nomu that we've encountered that actually has the ability to speak, and is sentient as well, and the ability to not only speak, but also think. And so it's like, hey, I want to fight the strongest because I just got all these powers. I want to see what I can do. It just wants to fight the strongest. It's a very villainy villain. And it's extremely powerful. Its regenerative powers are ridiculous. Like, right off the bat, you know, Endeavor jumps out the building and lights this man to pieces, literally.
Yeah.
And it just immediately regenerates. And it was just like, oh, you think that fire is going to burn me? Like, he starts talking, like, this Nomu starts talking shit. Like, you think that's what you got?
Yeah.
And Endeavor's go ahead.
I was going to say, he's talking shit. Like, he's still kind of slow. He's like, hey, oh, you,
That's all you have? Yeah, exactly.
I guess. But I'm like, all right, Endeavor, you know, I felt like Endeavor do a jab. It wasn't even, to me, it wasn't a hard shot. I think Endeavor was like, hey, man, let me teach you something, little kid. Bow.
I wouldn't call it a jab. I'd call it a straight right.
I'll give you that. Maybe a straight right. Straight right. Okay.
And then as soon as he starts talking, Endeavor's like, I know what I have to do now. I have to take this Nomu in for questioning. So I have to let it survive. And very quickly on in this fight, Endeavor realizes that this is not going to be a fight where I can take anybody in. It's either me or him because
I got to kill this dude.
Like, this dude is extremely powerful and it starts knocking Endeavor the fuck out. Like, this Nomu fucks Endeavor up. Like, he knocks him through an entire building.
Yeah.
He takes his eye out.
Endeavor like lights him up again because he's been lighting him up this whole fight, and then he does something to where he like puts his spike and then he just throws a spike straight into his fucking eye.
No, before what he does is like, so Endeavor does this, what I think is his most powerful attack, it's called Prominence Burn. So he does Prominence Burn, and that villain saw it coming and ripped off its own head and threw it behind Endeavor before Prominence Burn hits him. So Endeavor just completely decimated this Nomu's body, but its head regenerates behind Endeavor. And as it's regenerating, it takes a spike and spikes it right through his Endeavor's eye and takes his eye out.
I grabbed my eye when that shit happened. I was like, ah!
And takes Endeavor down to the ground, knocks him pretty much unconscious, and he's done. And there's news crews everywhere, and everybody's just like, oh, shit. You know, and then it's just like
what we missed too. We missed a part. We missed some stuff. I know it's somewhat. It is pretty important. Endeavor's family's kind of just like,
oh, it's really important.
Yeah. It's Endeavor's family kind of like, man, kind of like, you know, one of his older sons is kind of like, man, does he really care? Is he gonna do this stuff? And his wife is kind of like, he does. He's been coming to bring this flower, and you know, this is a flower that we talked about. I think he said it was from like she said it only one time, like their first date or whatever
first
it was.
Date. Yeah,
and he brings her that flower.
Big deal.
And he's trying, he understands that he's been a shithead father and husband this whole time. And he's like, yo,
and a shithead hero.
And a shithead hero, too.
Yeah, he when he was walking with Hawks, like, some people tried to approach Hawks for autographs, and somebody wanted to approach Endeavor. He normally doesn't do that. He tried to do it because he's like, I'm turning a new leaf over, because he realized he has to be the symbol of peace. He has to be something he's never been. And that includes being a good father, a good husband, a good man is what Endeavor's going for. A good hero, a good man. It can't be a good hero without being a good man, is what it feels like. That's when Endeavor came to the conclusion of understanding is I have to be a good person to be a good hero. And I have not been that.
Exactly.
And they have the flashback of pretty much Endeavor's wife and his two kids talking about Endeavor. And the two kids are like, we really don't even know him because he wasn't around. All he did was hero stuff when we were kids. But we do know he made it really hard for you and Shoto. And the mom is actually defending. Like, you don't have to defend him, mom. It's like, you don't understand. Like, this man has actually been coming here for years. Like, the doctors have never allowed me to see him, but he's come all the time to come check on me. You know, he's probably the one paying for her to be there. You know, I mean, he brought her this flower that was, like, from one of their first dates. Like, he still very much so cares about me.
And we're not saying that it makes it right for what he did.
No,
we're not saying that. Don't be like, well, y'all capable.
All we're saying is that they're showing progress.
Showing progress. He's trying to improve. He cannot change the past. He's going to always be a dickhead for that.
Yeah, but he's a shitty domestic abuse asshole. But the mom is also shitty for abusing her own child. So it's not like
She's not going to get off the hook either.
Absolutely. She don't get off the hook either. Like, this, it's a fucked up family. So, like, she literally poured steaming water on her son's eye. He beat the shit out of his wife for doing it. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like,
my favorite character. Oh, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
Oh. But yeah,
let me ask you a real ass question, Keenan. If you have three children and your youngest child, you walk into the kitchen, your youngest child, you realize your wife purposely burned his eye out because it reminded you of him. Burn his eye like that, and you walk in while it's happening, and she admits to it. Can you control your rage?
No, I can't. I can't tell you what would do. I look at it like this is a smaller situation. You remember NBA player Jason Kidd?
Yeah.
You remember there was this incident when his wife like fed his son a French fry wrong, or maybe he wasn't able to eat French fries yet, but she gave him one anyways, and he put his hands on her.
Yeah.
Like, people just, when it comes to children, I think you snap. Don't think you, and even that comes for women too. I think if a father was doing something to the child, I don't think the mother's going to, no, you're not thinking, you're reacting.
Right.
And I'm not saying Endeavor was right in that situation, but I mean, not to get too deep or dark, but I've seen a lot of domestic violence growing up myself. So I understand what the fuck.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I don't support what Endeavor did.
But you can't fully condemn it either. You know what I'm saying?
I also know, like, yo, I'm sure he was just being like, what the fuck? What the fuck you doing? Especially, that's his, to him, Shoto is like his pride and joy. You're the perfect son. All these other kids, go ahead and burn them, man. Go ahead and burn these other kids, man. Burn my youngest son. I mean, burn my middle son, my older son. But Shoto, he's the perfect one.
Yeah.
And I think she did it on purpose despite him, because of him being a bad person too, though.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I think it's really interesting because it's like the other side of it is like he also showed a lot of restraint in that time too, because he could have killed her. He could have killed her. We don't know how strong her ice powers are, but I don't think they matter from what we saw in this episode. So back to the fight. Like Endeavor took a big L. The news crews are just like, this is what it feels like to not have the symbol of hope. Or a symbol of peace anymore. Everybody's scared.
That hurt me when he said that. I was like, oh.
Yo, but like, and then the Nomu jumps up on top of a building. He's like, there's people over here, which means he was ready to attack them and kill a bunch of people. And Hawks can't do anything. Hawks is fighting the other Nomus that the guy already released. Because one little thing that happened during this fight, which was incredible, is this Nomu pulled other Nomus out of his own body because other heroes showed up to try to help Endeavor fight him. And he's like, no, this is our fight. Here's your guys' fight.
Take care of my lightweight, man.
Straight up. And so they had to fight those, which Hawks is one pretty much fighting all of them. Let's keep it real. But what Hawks also does during this fight is like Endeavor gets thrown through an entire building and knocks a whole portion of this building off. It's like a huge section of it. And Hawks, this is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. He talks to his wing, his feathers, and he tells him, like, find the semblance of human beings. Like every time you feel humans, like
vibrate them, anything,
vibrate
breathing.
Voice, screaming, needing help. Grab each and every one of the humans out of this building and take them to safety. And they did it. And then Hawks is like, yo, you need to take care of that building, Endeavor. And Endeavor completely dismantles and destroys it with like a net of fire, which is crazy.
This is dope.
And then Hawks carries all the little heavy pieces away on his wings so they don't fall on people. I was just like, these people getting it in. And then
they're a dope pairing.
Endeavor and Hawks are a really good pairing because what happens is, you know, Endeavor gets lit up. He's on the ground. He's pretty much paralyzed. And the girl that wanted his autograph earlier jumps on the camera and is just like, y'all don't even understand. You don't see the flames still. He's not
was
done.
That a girl? Was that a girl or boy?
That was a girl. That was the same girl that wanted the autograph earlier in the episode before.
I thought it was a boy, but I think.
Okay, either way, somebody says a shit. Who looks just like the character from the other anime about dragons with the pink hair. What's that name of the anime? Somebody's gonna tell me after watching this episode. But there's another anime about dragons, and it's like a popular one that people love to hate on.
Fairy Tale.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought that.
It looks just like Fairy Tale.
Are they giving like a little bit of like, you know, like
a nod to them or something?
A nod to them. Yeah.
Maybe the same studio made it. I don't know. But that is the character from Fairy Tale. There's no question. Like different voice, different attitude, but the same character design, 100%. I've never seen Fairy Tale, so I can't speak to Fairy Tale. But either way, this fight ends in the most cool, the dopest. Like Endeavor propels himself with his flames back towards Nomu because he can't move his body anymore. He's just controlling his flames.
And he's just saying, "Bam, my body won't even move. I'm just the flames are just doing this for me."
And the reason he says that is because the Nomu looks back and sees him coming back. He's like, "You can regenerate too," because he knows how much damage he did to him. And he's just like, "I guess you can regenerate too." And he's just like, "Nah, I'm not like you." But he's just like flying towards him with his back full of flames. And the Nomu is like, it's too fast. And Hawk shows up and is just like able to distract the Nomu. And it's just like, yo, man, I got your back. like gives him some and then puts some feathers in the back of Endeavor to make him move faster. So Hawks falls, he gives him a bunch of his feathers. Hawks falls out of the sky, gives him his feathers, and he gets to the Nomu, takes his fist, stubs it down the guy's throat, and is like starting to incinerate him from the inside, but he's regenerating too fast. And he's like, what? How can you regenerate from the inside with my flaming fist in your mouth? And the thing is just still alive. And he's just like, Hawks! He calls to him, he's like, yo, take me up as high as we can go, and turns his flames into to wings, and they fly up, and Endeavor does another prominence burn on this motherfucker in his face, with his in his mouth, in his face, and lights him to pieces, falls to earth, sad as shit, and then in this bundle of fire and ashes, and then they don't know what's going to happen. Everybody thinks Endeavor's dead, but then it ends up showing he stands up and does the All Might.
Fucking fist raise. It was dope, too. But I think also, too, what Endeavor says that was important. He said, there's people around, and I can't go full power.
Yes.
So that's why he goes way up in the sky and does that. So Endeavor might have had a chance somewhat in there to probably burn this dude. That first prominence burn, I don't think was full power prominence burn.
Right.
It is probably his strongest move. But he didn't give it full.
Well, I mean, it was strong enough, though, because it completely disintegrated the body. If his head was in there, the guy would have been done. The promise burn was proven to be powerful enough, but now he's like, I'm not playing games. Like,
yeah, I gotta go this route. I gotta go 100% no matter what.
And I believe the term is plus ultra.
Plus ultra.
Because he says it. He's like, I always hated the school term, but, you know, we're going to go plus ultra. And one other thing that he said that I thought was incredible was when he was like, he had the fist in his Nomu's mouth. He's looking at him. He's like, you remind me of my former self.
Yeah.
And I have to let that burn. So I'm going to put you to rest. And it's like, for me, he wasn't just putting that Nomu to rest. He's putting a part of himself to rest that he was building up to this whole point of turning it into the symbol, new symbol of peace. And I say he did it. I personally believe that Endeavor has become the new symbol of peace. He's not just the number one. He's a new symbol of peace. He stands up. He puts the fist up with the head down to show y'all, I am here. Do not be afraid. Everything's okay. Mm-hmm. Villains, come get these hands.
Yeah, and the whole time I was watching it, the song that was playing in my head was Usher, Let It Burn.
Let it burn.
And he was lighting his ass up. But the whole time, who's watching? Shoto Todoroki.
Todoroki and his whole family. They're watching. And Shoto's crying. Like, he's like, I love one of my favorite parts of the episode, too. Is like Shoto's watching, and when his dad like comes back up in flames, like you see flames come off of Shoto's hand. Shoto's hand. And I was just like, oh, he wants to be there with him fighting. Like, you know.
Oh. I'm surprised. I thought they're gonna have him go out there and be like, well, fuck this shit. Like, run out there and just run to where the scene was happening at and try to at least help and then get in trouble, and Endeavor's gonna have to just go full out and just save his son. And that's how it was gonna be. The whole father son thing, but
didn't
just sitting
it.
There, just yeah, they didn't need it. I the way they did it was perfectly fine with me.
Yes,
but he's sitting there. They're watching this whole time. He can't do nothing about it, and he's sitting there. Remember, he just keeps thinking back, like, to watch me. Like, I'll show you. Just watch me, son. Like, I'm going to do this.
Right.
And you see at the end, you kind of see like Shoto kind of like falls to the ground. He kind of like his hands over his face, like, damn, like. My dad is like...
He's the truth. He's exactly what he said he was going to do. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. He is the number one hero. He is a new symbol of peace. I am proud of my father.
And it wasn't just being proud. I think it shows you, too, that no matter what, that's your parent, right? It's like I said, I've been through a lot of different things myself. And it's like, I wouldn't want anything to happen to my dad. Me and my dad are tight now. We're great now. But it's like, after all the stuff that's happened, I would, even at the height of that shit, I wouldn't have never wished death on my father.
Right.
Right. So I felt like it was more like that. It wasn't just like my dad's a boss. It was like, yo, I almost fucking lost my dad. This how I feel, I can feel this way, but it's like, all right, man, it ain't as bad as losing like an actual parent. And that's why I felt like it was super deep. It was deeper than rap, fam. It was deeper than just like, yo, my dad's like a boss. It's kind of like, dog, like, okay, life is short, man. Like,
I think it was all the above, man. It's like, life is short.
I'll give you that.
It's all the above. I'm proud of this, objectively proud of this hero. I'm proud to be the son to this hero. I'm proud that my father kept his word to me and saying that, you know, like, I will make you proud. Like, there had to be so many emotions balled up in that moment for Todoroki.
Oh, absolutely.
So it was incredible. And so that ends the episode. Like, he stands, he does that, and then there's the credits play. And after the credits, we see Midoriya laying in the bed, having a nightmare. And the nightmare shows him wrapped in a black shadow with only his hand out. And in that, he sees the line of all the other offer one for all owners. And two of them, there's two people that are standing there. One of them is on his knees, and it feels like one of them is taking something from the other one, is smiling about it. And Midoriya reaches out towards him and wakes up. And the glass, it, like, his power is activated. It's just in his hand. And that's so that's powerful enough to break the shatter the glass in his bedroom. And then it's just like, yo, see you season five. And I'm just like,
I was hot.
I was like, what? That was the last episode? Oh my God. I can't wait.
Normally, I don't know why I didn't look ahead and, you know, like I normally do.
Yeah.
And just to see when it was going to end at least. So I know what I already see the last episode with to prepare for.
I was caught off guard and hurt.
So I was caught off guard. I was hurt too. I was like, damn, man. Like, because you can't just leave us hanging with this boss ass moment and be like, wait to 2021. Like,
boss is. The animation in this episode was top-notch with Endeavor's fight. Like, there's some frames in there that I stopped when I was watching it, and I'm like, I want a poster of this. I want a t-shirt of this. I want, like, when Endeavor does, like, a punch, and he, like, turns his full flames on, and it's like his face is all fire, and he's, like, coming in for this. There's, like, certain freeze frames in there. I'm like, this is art. This is beautiful.
I think they definitely take their time when it comes to certain fight scenes. They're like, all right, we're gonna make this shit dope.
Yep.
I did what I do. I started to read the manga now.
My God. Keenan, it hasn't even been 24 hours since we talked about it, and you had read it. So, like, literally after we got off the phone, you literally just was like, I gotta know, and started reading shit. Is that what happened?
I was like, oh my God. I went on my phone, because I had the, on my manga app, I had like four or five that I'm consistently, Vinland Saga's been rough to get through right now, but, like, I've been reading, I was skipping a little bit ahead because I was just like, man, this fucking stupid ass musical art. I was like, I can't do this. And so I was like, all right, I stopped. And then you were like, don't read what happens in this episode. You're like, don't, I was going to read ahead.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're like, don't, just let it happen. I was like, all right, cool. So I did that for you.
And how did it feel?
You know, it was a great watch, but this is a whole year we got to probably wait, right? That's number one. Two, I was trying to make sense of, because I didn't read the whole chapter yet.
I don't want to talk about this. You know that, right?
I'm not gonna get into it. But what I'm saying is what I read in the sense of like the reason why I read it, not what I actually read. What I read was just like, all right, I mean, what I was trying to get to was like I wanted to see why this is happening and what was the reasoning for it. So that because I was just too curious. I was just like, dog, you can't leave this with me and then say, wait a year. Like, you can't do that. So I was like, all right, since the manga's already out, let me see what the fuck is happening. And I stopped myself being the good person that I am. I was like, all right, man, I'm going to try to stop being the spoiler type person. I'm going to try to be a good person inside. And I didn't finish it, but I started it. Just letting you know. All right, so let's, just for the record,
I'm reading that what we saw in that final scene was actually All for One, a younger version of All for One, and his younger brother. Mm-hmm. Completely shocked, the younger brother reaches out to Izuki, to Midoriya's hand, and says, you're the ninth. When they touch hands, the glass in the room broke. So it sounds like All for One's younger brother was one of the might have been the original One for All.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be really interesting, because that means we're about to get some deep history. But I want to talk a little bit about a fan theory. It's something that I have been thinking about anyway. It's like I told you, Dabby, he's the guy with the blue flames from the League of Villains, right? He's the one who brought that Nomu, or released that Nomu, on Endeavor specifically. I personally believe that Endeavor is his father.
I agree. We talked about this a little bit. Yep. I said I accidentally saw some things since I watched too many spoilers. I watched too many spoiler videos.
Just stop. God damn it. I can't talk with you about things. That's one of the reasons that I hate that you do this. I can't even talk to you about something. I have this idea about this thing. You're like, yeah, I agree. But I know. And I'm just like,
No. Here's the thing.
There's no yet.
Right now, how they're saying in the manga how things are happening is that
it's no, looking. Wait, do I not want to know this? If you're about to tell me anything that is
No. It doesn't say that he is. But it's just things that are kind of like making, it'll be things that you're going to piece together anyways. It's like, you already piece together that you think it's his son. It's just that, it's just more things saying that there's a possibility that it's his son.
Yeah, and he also has blue flames, which are more powerful. Blue flames, and his wife is of ice. Blue flames are hotter than red flames, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah, and I think Dobby has that thing too, where he can only heat you up for a minute, so he can't go ham because he doesn't have the ice side. The ice side is like, because I think Endeavor has that issue. Like, I'm overheating.
Yep.
Like, I can't.
He said his bodily functions shut down when he gets too hot.
Yeah. So it's like, That means he just would shit on himself. Like, oh, come on, man.
I mean, that would be the funny way. I was imagining like his liver stops working or something. But you know.
Okay, you went serious. I went, of course, comedic. But like, yeah, I think I agree. I think Dobby could be. I think that would be fire as hell. No pun intended.
That's a good pun.
Yeah, it was. And him and Todoroki get to go at it. Like, let's say our theory's right, right? He kills Endeavor or something like that. And now Todoroki has to, you know, avenge his death and they got to go at it.
That'd be an amazing fight. Yeah, I mean, because the thing is, it could happen right now. It's like, I mean.
Endeavor hasn't seen Dobby yet, has he?
Yes, he did actually see him in the movie. If you don't remember.
He kind of like destroyed him real quick because he was a cop.
He saw him, you know, he saw him. They had a flame fight, a very, very brief flame fight in that episode.
I wonder, so that might, you think that breaks the theory? Like he saw him, because you think he would know, right? Because when did he run away? When did he
could be an illegitimate son. Endeavor could have been a guy that was just sleeping around. It could have been a son from somebody else that he didn't even know about. And that's probably why he hates him. He's like, you're my father. You never acknowledged me as even your son. That's a possibility. Because Endeavor just was out here, you know, like, but yeah, let's give our ratings, man. We're an hour and 15 minutes in. So, you go first.
I'll give this season 4 of My Hero Academia. I'll give it a 79 to 8,000.
Wow. Okay, go ahead.
Is that's too high?
No, that's exactly what I was gonna give it.
Oh, okay. The only reason why I didn't give it higher, I probably would have gave it around close to like a 83 to 8,400, maybe 85. Was some of the arcs they had in there. Yep. And also, honestly, putting my man Todoroki on the bench, fam. Like, you put him on the bench pretty much a whole fucking season. Yeah. Him and Bakugo, both of them, pretty much did the bare minimum of this season. Which are like the two other characters that we love the most, besides probably like Froppy, like, you know, who's like a side character we kind of like.
Yep,
But it's like, bro, it's like you gave him nothing. But the heights were high. Like episode, I think it was episode 72. What was the one that's Deku going plus ultra?
Oh, you mean 100%?
100%.
The 76.
Episode 76.
Uh huh.
That's one of my favorite episodes of anime that I've seen in a very long time.
Yeah.
So that did.
My question is: do you like the Lemillion episode or the Infinite 100% episode more?
I've watched the Infinite one a lot more. I would have to go back and watch the Lemillion one and to see. But like just that fight scene, that shit gave me so much chills. Him kicking him up in the air. That just look when he was coming down with the fist with the end it all. Like the look in his eyes, like it's like he literally blacked out. Was like, bro, like not that he went evil, but he's just like, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you everything I got. If you die, if he dies, he dies. That's how I feel. Like the Russian from fucking Rocky. He's like, if he dies, he dies. This is how this shit gonna end. So the animation was good throughout. It had those moments. This is why I can't say it's the best anime, right?
Right.
It's because of moments like in here where I feel like they don't have to have it. They didn't need, in my opinion, some of these filler portions of it. And like, Brendan hasn't read ahead of Demon Slayer. And I'm not spoiling anything. But I will say, if Demon Slayer just follows the manga and they don't put in any fillers, Demon Slayer will be the greatest anime of all time. If they follow what they're supposed to follow, because that's the only thing that can mess up Demon Slayer as a top that will always, you know, to me, in my opinion, Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, to me, didn't have too many moments in there where I was like, what's this filler?
So can we acknowledge, and I know that you're probably sick of hearing this, but I don't think we've said it on air yet. I would like to acknowledge that from episode 3 of Demon Slayer, I said this might be the greatest anime ever when I introduced it to Kenan and Ice and Rob. That's what I said from the beginning. When that show, there's 3 episodes in, I said that. Did I not?
You did. But here's where I haven't agreed with Ice in a long time, but here's why I would agree with Ice. Saying it that early makes perfect sense for him to be like, get the fuck out of here.
But he still says it. But also,
Ice, once he says something, he sticks to it. So we know that now. So he's just going to stick with it until, like I said, he's read ahead. So now he can say that it's going to be whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
But I think saying it that early without reading, I get why people be like, bro, let it develop first.
And I understand that, and I fully get it. But my point being is that, like, I am a huge fan. I'm a storyteller for a living. You know this. Mm. Yeah. And I saw the way that they were telling the story. I saw the way they were building everything. I saw the speed the show was being produced, like, in the sense of, like, how much got accomplished in an episode, what the action looked like, what the characters were being built like, what the world looked like. And I was like, if this stays on this same kind of pace and has this same kind of growth in it, it will be the greatest anime ever. So I said, this has the potential to be the greatest anime ever right off the bat.
You did.
And I called it because I was just like, I can see it. I see it. I see this. I get it. And that's for me. I can watch 2-3 episodes of anime and tell you that kind of stuff. Like, yo, this is going to be a good one. This is trash. And it's like, I'm really good at being able to pick it out, because it's like, how you are in any moment is how you are in every moment.
And that's what I say with my, I'm going to get to your rating right now, but just off, even with My Hero, that first season almost turned me off because of how they developed Deku at first. I understand that he had dope moments. And like I think I said it before, my girl loved him. She understood, like, why he felt the way he felt. He cried at it. So I was just like, fam, it's just piercing to my ears to hear this for 12 episodes straight.
And really, the season one wasn't about Deku, though. That's what most people miss. Like, people always are, I can't stand Deku, blah, blah, blah. Season one wasn't about him. Season one was about All Might. Season one was about All Might. It was All Might season.
But it's not about that.
And I get it. I know what you're saying. You're like, he's annoying. He's crying. He's whatever. And I'm like, that's purposeful. That's just like the Black Clover did the exact same thing. Black Clover did it worse. Let's keep it real. Like, if you watch the beginning of Black Clover, like, Asta from Black Clover is the most annoying anime character outside of Zenitsu that I've ever seen in the first 10-15 episodes, because all he does is cry and scream. But if you set up your protagonist to be that and learn and grow from that, you have to start somewhere. And the lower you start from, the more growth you could possibly have. And that's what happened in My Hero Academia. They're like, we got to start this guy below the lowest. He has no quirk and he's a bitch. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a crybaby, emotional bitch about everything. But his heart is fantastic. And that's what we're going to build on. We're going to say he's always had this heart. He's always had this mind. His body and his emotional capacity, trash. But we're going to build that up. You know what I'm saying? We're going to give him power. We're going to build his most capacity. We're going to build up his body.
And he worked for it. But then you give him the opposite character of a Bakugo, who's annoying as fuck too. So you gave me two annoying characters in a show.
Bakugo didn't annoy me. Like, that's on you. Like, I always like Bakugo.
Lot of people was annoyed by him. Like, this office screaming. He's fine now. He's dope to me. I'm not like how Rob feels about him.
Yeah.
But he just had he had annoying moments also. But
I like Bakugo. Let me get to my rating. Yeah, let me get to my rating. So my rating is the same as yours. I was actually going to say 7,900. And it would have been about 8,400 if we could just take out the gentle criminal part. You can leave the provisional exam part in there, because there was a lot of plot process in there that was important.
Right.
We have to have Endeavor talking to All Might. We have to have a reason for them to be in the same space. We have to get the other two there in provisional licenses that they didn't get in season three, which was important that they didn't get the provisional licenses, because they couldn't be in the fight with Overhaul, because that would have changed the whole way it happened. So all that was really important. We had to have all those elements. We have to have them get the provisional license. And it happened really quick. It was like two episodes. So for me, I'm like, that's cool. I'm fine with that. But the gentle criminal arc, I cannot deal with. That took away easily 400, 500 points on the score. But this is one of the highest rated scores that we've ever given to anything. I think outside of like Mob Psycho, Demon Slayer, and Brotherhood, this is it. Like, those, this is on the level of how we're rating stuff. This is top tier.
What did we give Vinland Saga? Like a 75 or something?
77,
like that?
I think. 77, 8, 78. But this is this is it. This is as high as our ratings have gotten. This is top tier anime. No question about that. Do you disagree with that?
I agree.
Yeah. So yeah, man, that's it.
So yeah, let us know. Let us know what y'all think in the comment section. What did y'all give it? If you saw season four, let us know if you gave it out of a 9,000.
Yeah.
In the comment section, we'll comment back. I gotta get back on the comments over there. So I will.
Yeah, you do.
let us know what your favorite moment was in season four. And if any of you say...
What was your favorite moment?
My favorite moment in this season? Shit.
That's a hard question.
I would still probably give the edge to the Overhaul Deku fight. But that Endeavor moment, because it had so much development of him as a character...
I was going to say either the Endeavor moment or the Lumillion moment. And the Lumillion moment isn't when he saves her and takes the hit. The Lumillion moment is actually when he punches through a guy and then like misses like the whole gun or something. There's like one moment where he like phases half of his arm through something and then punches somebody in the same moment while phasing like a whole part of his other body out. And it's just incredible. And it's just like, how did he even, what the fuck? Like that part to me, I was like, get out of here. Like, and they did it. And my favorite part is that they didn't even emphasize it. Cause you know, how most anime, whenever something amazing happens, they have somebody on the sidelines like, did you even see what happened about? They didn't even do that.
They might repeat it a few times so you can be like, did you catch that?
Yeah, they don't do that in this show. Like, they just do dope shit and then just keep it moving because they know we're going to watch it again. They know we're going to slow it down and watch it again because it's like, there's so many dope moments. Even like in the Endeavor fight in this one, we didn't even talk about how he got knocked sideways and turned himself into a spinning top and phased through four buildings before riding himself with his flames. Because he's so hot. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, that shit just happened, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go watch it just because I already think Crunchyroll already put the scene up. They already put the scene up, I think, the same day, I think, because they knew people were going to be watching that scene and they chopped it up already and threw it on YouTube so you can watch it.
Yep.
But yeah, this is top tier. I would say those two are my favorite moments. I could probably give the slight edge to a Deku Overhaul fight. I won't argue anybody with Lamillion because he's so dope. He had dope ass moments in there.
But those are definitely the top three moments.
So those are your top three moments. Can you pick one out of those? What's your favorite?
My favorite one. I'm actually gonna go with the Lamillion. No wait, I'm gonna say my favorite is the Endeavor because of the whole character development and all that. Because I think action wise, I think they're all kind of on the same level. I think action wise, the Deku one is number one. Endeavor's number two. Lamillion's number three. But like brilliance of what's happening in that moment, I think Lamillion is number two, but Endeavor is number one. So I think the Endeavor moment when he's like becomes a symbol of peace, you know, finishes off the season with a bang, kills off this Nomu, and then puts his fist in the air
and actually earns the right to be the number one hero.
Earns it.
It's on paper. He actually had to earn that shit.
So he lost his eye for that shit. Yeah, go ahead.
I better be number one, bitch. I lost a motherfucking eye that I can never use again. I'm going to have to put a flame over that bitch as an eye patch. But let us know in the comment section what you guys think, what your favorite moment was. Even if it wasn't one of those three moments, because we know that one of those three might not have been one of y'all's.
There's a lot
but
more
if
moments.
Any of you, but if any of you guys say that that School Musical art part, I'm going to probably go in the comment section and cuss you out.
We're going to make sure we find a way that you can't listen to our podcast anymore.
That's some bullshit. But go ahead, state yourself.
Oh, yeah. Find me on Instagram at Mr. Producer Face. Funny that some of y'all did actually look at the highlight of how I got my name and the family reunion thing.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
You can follow Rob at RV Danger. You can follow Ice at Ice at McGowan. You can follow myself and Keenan Baker on everything. And we thank y'all for tuning. Oh, this is a special episode for y'all. So we're gonna put this out early.
Yeah.
And we're gonna shoot another episode of the next five. I Am Blooded Orphans. And we'll see y'all on the next episode of Animation.
Peace.